Hold your Bibles up. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's Word on purpose. But I'm not just a hearer. I'm also a doer. I do what I hear from the Word. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer, my life, I declare, is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I declare it done. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Please say this with me. Say, save me. Save me. Say it again. Say, save me. Save me. Have you ever seen a person that needed to be able to be saved because they were in the water and did not know how to swim very well? Yeah. Perhaps maybe you were the one that had to turn out to be the lifeguard in that case, and even though you weren't trained to do that, when people say, save me, you want to do something. I mean, you know, there's times when you're flying in an aircraft and people will start screaming because, you know, they're screaming out saying, save me. People need to be saved at different times. And Jesus knew that, and he came here to save us. Thank God somebody came. I said, thank God somebody came. Because, you know, it could have been that nobody showed up. But thank God that Jesus showed up to save us. Say, God, Jesus saved me. Say, Jesus saved me. Now, if you haven't received that salvation, if you're not saved, you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you can be saved. I said, Lord and Savior, 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 save, 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 salvation, save. It's all tied to you receiving from the Lord. Now, say that again. Say, save me. Now, sometimes we need to be saved from a lot of different things, you know, different things that besides just drowning. You know, sometimes people are in a situation where they're drowning in debt. It's like, God, save me out of this mess. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where, I remember we were driving over to Spokane. I was going to go to work at a radio station over there, KJRB. No, was it KJRB or was it CRIM? I can't remember. It was one of the radio stations. I was climbing up the corporate ladder of radio broadcasting and television broadcasting, and they had an offer. It was the King's affiliate station, CRIM, K-R-E-M, over in Spokane, and I had an interview with that station. Never did get the job, but that was good because I got one much better right after that and didn't have to move to Spokane. But anyhow, we were driving over there, and my oldest daughter, was about 3 years old, and she was in the back seat. I had gotten off because I was working like 10 to 2 in the morning, and I had gotten off. I was working till midnight, and I got off, and we jumped in the car. We're going to take a 5-6 hour drive over to Spokane, and I'd be freshened up after going to McDonald's and changing my clothes for my interview at 8:30 with the program director. And so we were driving along 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, going over I-90. Anybody ever been over I-90 through the mountains? It ain't that fun. But anyhow, we was going through the mountains, and all of a sudden, some of you heard this story, some of you have not, but all of a sudden, there was construction that we were going through, and they had reduced everything down to one lane east, one lane west. And so you could not change lanes, and there was really no way to change lanes because they had a Jersey barrier in the middle of it. So we're driving, and I'm going 60, 65 miles an hour. The other car that all of a sudden we saw, that we realized was in our lane, was driving 60 or 70 miles an hour, and we didn't have time to even say, save me. My wife and I, with our little girl in the back seat, in her little car seat, I held on to the steering wheel for impact. I knew this car was going to head on with us. And somehow, this car went through us, over us. We don't know. But we saw the headlights. They came closer and closer, closer and closer and closer. And all of a sudden, they were in my rearview mirror. And for about 3 minutes, give God some. That would have been our death, I know. Because you got 70 and 70, that's 140 miles an hour. You can raise an airplane off the ground. You can take that 747, probably get, I mean 737, and probably get it off the ground without a problem at 140 miles an hour. At least you could. And I'm like, I didn't have anything to say, and neither did she. And for about 3 minutes, I just stared into the space of the road in front of me, and she just sat there with her mouth open, staring as well. And then I said, did you see that? Did you see that? She said, yes. Did you see that? I said, yes. I said, Kathy, what happened? Where did that car go? It was coming. She said, I know it was coming right at us. And it went through us. I saw it, and then it was in the, and then it was behind us. I said, this is an absolute miracle. God wants to save you. Now, if I was by myself, I'd have said, yeah, I'm just having a little, you know, I eat too much pizza, and, you know, I'm thinking the car was on the road. Nope, she was there. She saw the same thing. And that's why I didn't say anything, because I didn't want her to think I'm nuts. But those headlights on that car is just getting bigger. And it's just like, you know, when we watch for aircraft, or when we're flying, and you got traffic out there, somebody's flying along with you at night, you got to watch those lights. They're getting bigger. They're getting closer. So, you know, see and avoid. You need to see and avoid. We couldn't avoid. If we would have gone this way, we would have been down the cliff. We would have gone there. We were into the Jersey barrier. They were in our lane. God saves us all the time. You don't know how many times today God saved you. Driving on that freeway, people are nuts. I'm going to tell you a little trick that I do now. I accelerate like I'm taking off in an aircraft. I do. The light turns green. Then I release and just come back to the speed limit. Because I'm leaving these idiots behind me. I know, may not be legal, but they ain't stopped me yet. And if they do, I'll pay the ticket. So you have to make sure that you're doing what you can to save yourself. Oh, man, that's good. And that's why I'm saying this is serious business. There ain't no time to play no church. Okay, Mark chapter 11 and verse number 10. We're just going to be here for just a moment. Oh, my timer is on, so we'll be done real quick. Okay, Mark chapter 11, verse number 10. Watch this. Blessed is the kingdom of God, of our father, rather, David, that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father, David, that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That word Hosanna means save me. This is what they cried out on Palm Sunday. But Jesus had to have some setup for Palm Sunday. He needed a place. Now listen to me. If you do not get anything else out of what I'm about to say in the next 6.5 minutes, I'm telling you now, you need to run faster than your leadership. You want to get a promotion on the job? Be a problem solver, not a problem reporter. If you got to report a problem, report it with an answer that could work. At least a suggestion. They'll get to the point where they're saying, you're solving problems, you're not just bringing me problems. Stop being a problem reporter and be a problem solver. Why? Because God wants us to be able to work on our own stuff. I mean, we want to be able to help us help ourselves, not just always looking for a handout, something free, something, you know, you're going to use somebody for something else. Stop doing that. Don't do that. It will not help you. Now, Jesus had to find a place to be able to have the Passover, right? This is Holy Week. This is the Passover week. This is when it happened. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but before that, he had to have some preparation going on. Now, the Passover is actually tied to what we watched last night on Channel 4 when with Moses being on, okay? Every year they put Moses on. Did y'all see it last night? The Ten Commandments, yeah. Did y'all see it? Did you all see it? Yeah. She fell asleep again. She fell asleep again. I watched the whole thing. But anyhow, the Ten Commandments, of course, you know, there's some theatrics in that, but it's very scriptural. And it shows the Passover. And the Passover means that the children of Israel were passed over when the death angel came to destroy the enemy's firstborn male. So God wants to have you passed over. When the devil is handing out problems, he says, oh, let's just miss, let's miss Mr. Charles right here and Anna. We ain't going, you can't do nothing with them. They can cover. Passover. Don't you want the enemy to have to pass over you? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Can't be that sleepy. Give God some glory. He passed, he makes the enemy pass over you. Hosanna! Hosanna, save us! That's what they're saying. Hosanna, Hosanna, save us! We need saving regularly. Save me from this crazy relationship. Save me from this food I ate that was wrong. Save me, God, from this crazy traffic where they smoke dope and drive as fast as they can in the state of Washington because it's legal. Save me. Hello, say save me. Now, how did we get here? Go to Genesis, please, quickly. I got to do this fast. Okay, go to Genesis real quick. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. Quick now. How did we even get here? And listen to me. That's why I'm in such a serious mode. First of all, because this is Holy Week, and you should be taking time for God this week. You should be taking some time to be able to put some extra time in. Stop just asking like you punching the clock when you come to church at 10:30 in the morning. And then, you know, want overtime for coming on Wednesday. I want overtime pay. No, that's part of your regular duty, to come to church and receive the word of God. I'm having fun. I hope you all are too. So how did we get here? How did we get in this mess? I'm talking about mankind. Do you know it was one sin, one thing that caused us all to have the suffering foolishness that we have to live through? One sin. One sin. See, and we sin all our lives and think nothing of it. The Lord was putting in my heart, people need to realize it's God's grace. It's his mercy. Because there was Adam and Eve in the garden, God expedited. Adam and Eve in the garden, and they saw some food. She saw some food. No, nothing wrong with that. My wife goes grocery shopping. I told you, we met that lady over there in the grocery store right by the frozen foods. That's why she's in the church, because we witnessed to her. And she came to the church. She didn't know she could come back. See, and that's how a lot of people get out of the church. They mess themselves up, get out of the church, don't know how to get back into church. You know how you get back into church? Just come back to church. And some of you are watching by live stream, you're scared to come to church because you think people are going to look at you. Ain't nobody thinking about you. We're here for our Lord and ourselves. We're not here to watch to see who else is coming up in here, and all of you need to be here. Especially if you're close by. Now, those of you in Atlanta and New York and Chicago, I can't say nothing about that. But those of you that are close by, you need to get in here. Get your rump in church. I only got about 3 or 4 minutes now. Okay, so the woman saw this. Look at verse number 6. She saw that the tree was good for food. Say, good for food. She feel like she's at Safeway. She's looking there. She said, that'll work. I'll throw that in my basket. And so she's seeing that the food looks good on the tree. And she's saying, well, I'm supposed to be domesticated. I take care of the food in the house. Unless, brothers, you the chef. I ain't going to go there. But anyhow, you the chef. I can't cook boiled eggs. I've boiled eggs, and they pop and hit the ceiling. I'm not kidding. I've had to scrape the ceiling. You know, I forget they're there because I've got so many things I'm doing in the house. You know, you're relating, brother. Okay, I see the head shake. See, because, you know, you get in there and you, honey, I'll take care of the eggs. You put about, you know, 6 or 7 eggs in the pot. It starts boiling and boiling. All the water boils out there. Boom! You want to have some fireworks in the kitchen? Just let that thing keep going. Those things will explode all over. You'll have egg on your face. You'll have egg on the wall. You'll have Picasso on the ceiling. It's crazy. So I don't cook no more. If I got to cook, we going out. We go find us a restaurant somewhere. And sometimes she gets a little tired of it now because there ain't no kids in there to whine and want that food. We just go where we want to go. Just go eat what we feel like eating today. We still trying to decide today. I don't know where we're going to go. We're going to go somewhere. But I sure ain't cooking no eggs. Okay. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, nothing wrong with that, that it was pleasant to the eyes, something's wrong with that. You shouldn't be that obsessed over something like that. and a tree desirable to make one wise. Now we know we're in the weird land here. Something weird is going on. She's looking at the tree saying, the tree will make me wise. See, and this is how we get messed up with things that are not right. She's been talking to the wrong person. My alarm's going off. Should I stop now? He's saying, yeah. I forgive you, brother. You're the one who messed up them eggs. You need to hear the rest of this. Okay. So we're going to take another 5 minutes. Can I get another five from you, brother? Okay. He gave me another five. So we'll push snooze, and my snooze is 25, but that's okay. Just kidding. It's only 15 like everybody else's. Okay, so here we go. The woman is, see, she's talked to the wrong people. And see, this is what happened. You start looking at things weird because you talk to the wrong people. I don't just talk to anybody because people have the ability to make you see things crazy. And you got to watch that. Brothers, I'm telling you. Now, Lester Sumrall was a man of God that traveled the world. He had his own aircraft and he traveled the world. This man was like, he was like nails. I mean, he was just a crass, you know, he cast demons out of anybody. He was just so powerful. And some of you never heard of Lester Sumrall. What a powerful man of God. And his two sons took over their ministry after he passed away. But this man, he was running all over the world, and you know, he was so on fire for God that sometimes his plane would have a problem. He's over in England. His plane, he'd leave his pilot the plane and everything, he'd jump on the plane and gone. He's just gone. Go preach somewhere else. They wrote about him over in the Philippines because there was a lady that was so possessed by the devil that the government was scared of her. And he went into the jailhouse where the woman was and cast a demon out of her, and she changed completely. And the whole nation read about it in the newspapers because this woman was known. Well, this man of God was the kind of man that, you know, he ain't playing no games. And that's how we should be serious about the things of God, folks. This woman, though, is listening to the wrong person. Lester Sumrall had a rule. We picked it up in this ministry. Some of you don't know we haven't, but if I catch one of my leaders sitting in the room by himself with a woman and you're on staff, your butt is fired. Now, yeah, but Pastor, they can't sit in there. No, I'm talking about you sitting there counseling a woman by yourself. That was his rule. Why? Because we hear about too many scandals. Well, I don't need no man sitting in there. What you got to talk about that you can't keep the door open? Don't close the door. You ain't got nothing to say to that woman or sister. You ain't got nothing to say to that brother. Okay, I'll go there. Here we go. Oh, God. I'm going to finish this. Young pastor, first year in ministry. Brother and this lady from Federal Way came, joined the church, sister. And she coming in there. I need counseling. My wife is already there. I need counseling, but I want to counsel with you. Can I counsel with you? I don't want her. Now, she's a board-certified counselor at the time, but she was still doing counseling. My wife counsels women. I don't counsel you unless I'm sitting with her. Now, I ain't scared of nothing. You ain't jumping on me because I chose not to beat you off, so I ain't worried about that. It's just the Bible talks about an appearance of evil. I don't want it to appear that I'm trying to, you know, or you trying to, whatever. I've been living too long, okay? 70-year-old man don't need all that, okay? I ain't interested, okay? Leave me alone. I'm happy. So anyhow, she comes in. Can I have a counseling appointment? I say, sure, you can have a counseling appointment. I'd love to just help you. Well, it's my husband. Well, I ain't got there yet, Kathy. Give me a minute. You can turn your microphone on, girl. You can add on anytime you want to. I want to talk about my husband. I'm like, okay, so what's his problem? I don't know. He just doesn't I don't know. I'll need to talk to you. I said, okay, fine. What she didn't know is that Dr. K is going to be at the appointment. So she shows up after hours, because she works. I drove all the way from Federal Way just to meet with you. So glad you did. Where do I go? Just go right in that room. I walked off. She walked in there. Mrs. Shorter was sitting right there. I thought I could counsel with you. Well, you can't. She had a skirt up to her navel. Okay? Yeah, she said, well, you, I didn't hear that, but you said, she said, why did you have to be here tomorrow? I said, the two shall be one flesh, right? I mean, so I go, she go. We're to the point now where I do not go anywhere without her because I don't have to. I ain't thinking about you. I don't need to go nowhere without her. And guess who I got that from? My pastor, Dr. Frederick K.C. Price. He said he would cry when his wife went to the mall with his daughters. Mijo. So here's this woman, and she's receiving information that's not good, and she's got this eyesight that's not good because she's seeing that it's going to make her wise. And she took of the fruit, and she ate, but nothing happened. Doesn't say anything happened when she ate because it was Adam that got the word from God. Don't you touch nothing. And she, being a good wife, she gave to her husband with her, and he ate, and everything went nuts. One sin is how we got here where we need to get saved. And that sin has continued since the Garden of Eden through all kinds of races and all kinds of places. There's people that need to get saved all over the country because of one sin that was done here. That's why I say it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You got to watch this stuff. So she ate and she gave to her husband and he ate. Next verse, please. All of a sudden, their eyes of both of them were open because after he ate, because he got the command, she wasn't even really around there when he got the command. The way I see it, if she was, maybe she wasn't listening, but it was really on the man because he's the head of the household. You are the priest, the prophet, and the king of the home. You are not just the king. You're the priest of that home. You sit there and you minister to that family. You are the prophet. You get from the Lord what the word is saying, what thus says the Lord for us to do. And the words of the prophet shall not fall to the ground. So when you speak, it happens. You're not just the king. Bring me my newspaper, my slippers. That's where most of us like to be. I like my slippers too. I don't read no newspaper. Okay, here we go. How did we get here? One sin is what it took. Now, here we go. Last I'm going to say. And then here they are. Jesus is trying to prepare a place. Luke chapter number, let's go to Luke real quick. Luke, because I can't leave you hanging. 19 and 29. We're just going to hit this. Here's Jesus coming into a place called Bethany and Bethphage. And at the mountain called Olivet, and he sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village opposite you where you enter into and find a colt tied, which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here to me. In other words, Jesus had need of something somebody had. That little donkey that Jesus, I love the way Don Jr., Pastor Don taught about this, that Jesus was on that donkey and his feet was dragging on the ground. The donkey was so small. It's a little weak donkey. And Jesus on that, big old Jesus on that donkey. That donkey's on the donkey. As Jesus' feet was dragging on the ground. Bring to me, he said to go into the village. I want to drop this and I'll leave it. I'll pick it up next week as we finish off this. It's coming into the Passover and coming into the resurrection. He said, go yourself into the village opposite you. You are supposed to be ahead of us. There it is. There's the dream. You are supposed to be in front of us. You're supposed to be so sharp in the things of God here at this church and in the kingdom until you got the vision so strong until you run with the vision. Instead of the pastor trying to get you to follow them, you should be knowing what's going on until you are ahead of us and taking care of business. He said, go into the city, find a place. We're going to have the Passover. But first find this colt. I got to ride into town. Then you're going to find a room that's perfectly set up. Go to that place. But with the guy with the Cadillac that I need to borrow to get it into town, he went to take the colt. They went to take the colt. And he said, well, what you doing with my Mercedes? He said, the Lord had need of it. He ain't going to keep it. Something you have, God needs to use. And some are so stingy, we won't even give a person a ride to church. Not in this room. I said, not in this room. We're ready to help everybody. Now, I can't finish this, obviously, but God wants you to be ready first to run. I shouldn't have to coach you along. I shouldn't have to write a sign for you to smile. Oh, sorry about that, worship team. Anyhow, just kidding. We should be able to see us going ahead because we got a vision for what God has going on in our lives. Jesus went there, had that, and they threw down all those palm leaves. They would be throwing down evergreen tree leaves here because we don't have palm trees. Okay. We'd be having pine cones all because we don't have any kind of palm trees here. It rains too much. So we'd be throwing down that, and Jesus would be coming along on it. Amen? And look at this now. I'm going to say this last thing. Jesus didn't want some donkey that somebody had been sitting on for 5 years. He wants a clean donkey ain't nobody been sitting on. You don't want to have to sanitize a donkey before he sits on it. He deserves a clean donkey. Say, he deserves a clean donkey. Well, if Jesus deserves a clean donkey, you do too. Take a clean donkey attitude. That God's fixing you up with clean stuff, new stuff, brand new stuff, whatever. We'll get there next time. How many received the word today in Jesus' name? I can't go no further. Every head bowed, eyes closed, Christians praying. Those of you watching by live stream, I want to give you an opportunity to receive from the Lord. Then we're going to release you, and we'll finish off the service here. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians praying and interceding. If you're not saved, even if you're online with us right now on live stream, and you've never received Jesus, how can you run with one that you do not agree with? The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? You're certainly not going to be able to run with the vision that God has in front of you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and Christians praying and interceding one for another. Perhaps you're here, you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want you to put your hand up high here, and for those of you that are out there, you can put your hand up as well. Maybe I don't see it, but God does. If you desire to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, put your hand up high, high, high. I want to pray with you, agree with you, add my faith with yours. Now, I'm going to pray this prayer because I don't know who all is receiving this. So let's pray it together. Say, Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. I receive you right now, and I thank you that at this moment, I am receiving salvation. You said that I could be able to call upon you, and you would answer. So I call on you. I cast my cares upon you. You care for me. Forgive me of my sins. Become my salvation. Save me from my sins. Save me from a life of confusion. And I will give you the glory. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, God knows it. And you have a new place in heaven waiting for you. Can we give God praise for that? Those of you watching by live stream, if you prayed that prayer, let us know. You need to tell somebody that you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We're glad that you have been along with us.